This latest book, because this has been in the series, of course, of the Conversations with God, the series of books. I mean, you've come up with some pretty provocative questions in this one, what God wants. I mean, all of us, Neil, have gone through our ups and downs in life, and some people have a difficulty finding what you were able to find. Why is that? How come either you found God or God found you, but why do some other people have problems finding that?
George, with your permission, may I just step back for one paragraph and say something that I wanted to add to my last comment?
Right.
Because, you know, as I reflect on what I said, it sounds very much as if I'm boasting or bragging about the number of books that were sold, and I don't want to give that impression. The point that I wanted to make and didn't have a chance to say at all was this. The books have probably been read by 25 or 30 million people. That is not a testimony to me, to my writing, to what anything that I may have imagined in my mind that I've accomplished. That's a testimony to people everywhere around the world in whatever language. It is an announcement that the humanity now is ready to look at alternative answers to the oldest questions, that humanity is now losing patience with itself, and that we are reaching out to find another path, another way, saying to each other and to ourselves, there's got to be another way. The way we're living life on this planet, the way we're constructing it, the way we are experiencing it, can't be the way it was meant to be. So I want to make it real clear that the point I was trying to make is those numbers indicate nothing more than humanity's readiness now. We are on the cusp. We're at a place called ready, and that's what those numbers show.
You know, it's kind of interesting to me. I got an email from someone who's, and by the way, I've gotten thousands from people tonight who are just excited about this. But I got one from one individual who said, are we going to talk about religion again? And I sent him back a message and said, no, you just don't understand, do you? Listen to the show. And then you send me another email, and hopefully that person will do that. I mean, there's such a big difference between religion and God, and a lot of people need to understand that, Neil.
Well, that's exactly right. That is the single message that God is, I believe, seeking to bring now to the world. Matt Lauer on the Today Show on NBC a while back asked me at the end of an interview, and all the good questions always come in the last 30 seconds, he said, Neil, if God had one message to bring to the world and could say only one thing, and he had 30 seconds left on this telecast to say it, what would God's message to the world be? And I said, you know, Matt, I can give it to you in 5 words. You've got me all wrong.
So true. So
now,
true.
If those words are true, and if those words are actually God's words to the world, it opens up the question once again. Questions that we have been afraid to address, questions that we have been loath to ask, questions that we have been told directly not to ask, questions that we have been told if we ask them, it's blasphemy even to ask the question, much less consider an alternate answer. See, the problem is that humanity has had the arrogance. This, by the way, addresses the question that I interrupted you for. You asked me, how is it possible or why does it work this way that somehow or another I've been able to hear these answers and other people haven't? We have been trained. We have been absolutely culturalized against and trained away from any thought that God, divinity, higher powers, greater wisdom, deity would speak directly to us, much less through us. We've been told, in fact, that not only does this not happen, to say that it's happening is a sin. It is the sin of blasphemy. It is apostasy. And in some places of the world, right now today, not in medieval times, but in this day and age, a person could be killed for saying what I'm saying, that God is speaking to me and through me. And in fact, people have been killed in recent times for such testimony. So with that kind of bias against, an extreme bias throughout all of humanity, by the way, throughout all of the world's great religions don't agree on much. There's great disagreement between the big three religions and some of the small ones as well. But there's one thing that all religions seem to want to agree on. God does not speak to humanity directly, but only through us, only through this religion, only through our prophet, only through our savior, only through our figurehead, only through the person that began this religion. So you must come to us and you must come through us, and don't even begin to think that God would speak directly to you. So why is it that I'm able to hear these messages and others are not? I think because most people are scared to death to even imagine that the God of this universe would speak directly to them. And that's the saddest thing of all, because God's been doing nothing from the beginning of time but talking directly to and communicating directly with humanity.
And then you get some people, Neil, who would say to you, Neil, there is no God. What would you tell them?
I would say, you know, I would agree with you. I mean, if you think of God, if you are saying there is no God in the form of another being or some exterior essence or element in the universe that stands apart from us and dictates and controls human affairs and all the other ways in which we imagine God to be, then I would say to that person, you're absolutely right. You are fundamentally correct. But then I would say to that person, would you be willing to consider exchanging the word God for the word life? Supposing that God and life were interchangeable words, and that what God is, life is, and that what life is, that God is, and supposing that life was the physical manifestation of the thing that I call God, could you go there? And 98% of those people would say, well, yeah, by that definition, yeah, I can go there.
They think you're trying to trick them with something.
Then we're opening, however, to a whole new discussion. And the idea of being tricked goes away as long as they're willing to at least talk about it. They begin to see that, wait a minute, this guy's onto something here. And we begin to see then that life is a force, an energy in the universe, a primal energy that can take any form it wishes to take and that we can use, and we can use with consistent and predictable results to produce the outcomes that we would select. In fact, we're doing so right now on the Earth. The only difference is, and the only problem is, that we're doing it unconsciously, and that's why the world is turning out the way it is.
Have you ever yet been able to answer that question, why is it, why do we have this life force, this God? What's its whole purpose?
It's purposeless. It is what is. That's like saying, what is the purpose of life? That is of the energy of life. It does not have an intention or a purpose other than to express itself through physicality, that it might know itself in that form. But there's no other specific intention or purpose except to simply, life seeks to experience more life through the process of life itself. God, then, if we interchange the words, seeks to express more God through the process of God itself. That's why even religions say, interestingly enough, we are made in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
And in this, religions have it profoundly correct.